Thank you for tuning in to the Kingdom Over Castle podcast, where we seek to unite God's people in Northern Nevada in order to see lives changed and lives saved. We have a great opportunity right now to make a difference in our communities, but it's going to take all of us. It's important that every Jesus follower is fully committed to a local church body while also celebrating and supporting fellow evangelical church bodies in the area. In the Kingdom Over Castle podcast, we celebrate what God is doing in our area and seek to inform God's people of opportunities to make a difference for Christ here and now in Northern Nevada.
We are your church. We pray revive this earth. Build your kingdom.
Well, hello, everybody. This is your host, Derek Carpenter, and I'm here with Dr. Dusty Braun.
I like the way you say that. It's very nice.
It is nice. Yeah. Dr. Braun, tell us your credentials. Why should we listen to you?
I am a clinical psychologist. I have a PsyD in clinical psychology from Regent University, and I've been in private practice now here in the Reno area for about 8 years.
Very cool. Well, we wanted to have Dr. Braun on today to talk specifically to parents. So if you are a parent of any kid, any age, you have had the question, what do we do with screen time? What do we do with cell phones? What do we do with social media? And so Dr. Braun here is going to have, I think, some great insight and then maybe some application so that you can think through this for your family. It might not be the same for every kid or for every family, but hopefully you can make a godly decision that's best for your children. So Dr. Braun, let's start out. Some of maybe the studies or what parents need to know about screens and screen time.
Yeah. So it's been fascinating to watch. You know, when the first smartphones started coming out in the 2000s, and then very quickly there was the social media that, you know, all the different apps that began to come out in the different social media platforms. You know, the psychology community knew that this first generation was basically going to be, you know, the test of what this is going to look like and what does screen time do to the brain? What does social media do to the brain? How much time should people be on smartphones, adults and kids, but specifically kids, because their brains are still developing. You know, the male brain isn't fully developed till 23 to 25 years old. Females are, you know, 19 to 21. Their brains are fully developed. And so with the, you know, the brain development and what does screen time do? And now all the studies are coming out slowly but surely showing some of the detrimental effects that screen time can have. In fact, even back in 2018, kind of before COVID, 54% of teenagers ages 13 to 17 felt they were on their screens too much. So even, you know, they probably didn't tell their parents that, but if you ask teenagers, they would say that. And 52% said that they were going to take steps to cut back. But then COVID happened and everything went online and all kids went online and they were alone and isolated. And so it's really ramped up, especially in the last 2 years with the amount of screen time that kids specifically are on their phones. And so, you know, here's some of the stats in regards to just screen time here. So children that reported more than 2 hours of screen time got lower scores on thinking and language tests. Higher usage leads to higher anxiety and higher depression. In fact, 13% of kids ages 2 to 5 that were allowed 2 or more hours of screen time per day, by the age of 5, they had statistically significant more behavior problems in social settings that other kids that didn't have that amount of screen time have. 6% had delays in speech. 8% had delays in other communication areas such as eye contact, hand gestures, kind of nonverbal. Those are for kids that are ages 2 to 5. For teenagers, teens that had over 5 hours per day of screen time had a suicidal ideation or a kind of a suicidal moment or suicidal thoughts. 48% had at least one of those experiences for teenagers ages 13 to 17. Compared to teens that use screens less than an hour a day, they were at about 29% for experiencing kind of a suicidal moment or having suicidal thoughts, which would be a little bit closer to what we normally see with teenage, you know, most teenagers, about 20 to 30% of teenagers will have some moment in their teen years where they, you know, have depression, anxiety. But we see almost a doubling of that for excessive screen time.
So it's interesting what you brought out. I guess I haven't thought so much about is that we are really just now being able to read the stats and measure because cell phones, started, I guess, in the early 2000s.
Yeah.
But there was a test. So, you know, we have four kids. Mm-hmm. Our boy is 24 now. So he was kind of in that early where we knew and watching. But now we know a lot more with our 17, 15-year-old and 13-year-old daughters. And yeah, that, it seems like there was some real damage done that people are starting to realize and come back from. So I guess a little bit of grace comes to my heart for those parents early on that might hear that and go, I messed up.
I think every family has done this. If you have kids, you go on a road trip. What do? It's, you know, in the, you know, 20 years ago, you probably get the portable DVD player and you watch five movies and now you just stick a screen in front of them. Right. But the difficulty with that for parents too is that the screen becomes a babysitter.
Right.
And so when you're trying to get things done or if the kid all of a sudden becomes highly emotional and gets upset, you stick a screen in their face. What is that doing to the brain? Like for the brain of that little kid, you're now pairing emotional regulation with a screen, with, you know, engaging with this, you know, two-dimensional screen that's in front of you.
Now, do you think that has changed? Because, I mean, I remember when I was a kid in the 80s, 90s, and my parents read and listened to Focus on the Family. I hated James Dobson.
Me too.
Yeah, because I couldn't watch The Simpsons. Yep. And I mean, whatever James Dobson said was bad, my parents said is bad.
Yep. No Smurfs for me.
Oh yeah, you.
That's and He-Man.
That's too bad.
Yeah,
no He-Man.
No He-Man.
Oh, he was my hero.
I understand.
So, what is different about the screens when we were kids?
Yeah,
and these screens now.
Yeah, yeah, and it's interesting because you know the studies in the 80s and the 90s. You know, people like James Dobson would do tout research of watching too much TV. And it is true. If you watch too much TV, then that does tend to produce more depression, more anxiety, less motivation, feel lazy, you know, your sleep gets a little bit dysregulated. But these screens are different because of the blue light that's associated with it. That's one aspect. And two, it's the proximity of how close it is to your face. You know, you're holding a phone or a tablet, you know, 1 to 2 feet away from your eyes and you're focusing on a much smaller thing. And then that blue light really impacts our brain. In fact, one of the big dysregulations it does is in the area of sleep. That, you know, too much of that blue light, especially if you do it right before bed, your brain, it's activating. And so you're getting that, it's like a dopamine hit. And so when you're getting that constant dopamine and that constant stimulation of the brain, you're hitting all the mechanisms that are basically associated with addiction, you know, in the same way that a person might develop an addiction with alcohol or a substance or anything else. It's that addiction piece, that's the part of the brain that's being activated by screen time and specifically with social media.
Okay. You mentioned the blue light. What's different about the blue light on these screens?
It's just the light that they use in the phone. It's a different types of lights, and I'm not an expert on lights, but the different types of light hit the brain in different ways. So there's different because you have different brain waves, and so but that blue light kind of specifically is an activating type of.
So the big danger is, if you're doing it at night, you're wondering why your kids aren't sleeping.
Right.
And maybe you're letting them watch a show right before bed.
Right.
That could be an issue.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Like a good rule of thumb, TV and or a screen, it would be nothing an hour before you go to bed.
Okay. So I do want to transition. You mentioned social media and those things.
Yeah.
But I guess specifically screens, parents with kids right now maybe thinking about it, or they already realize, oh, they're on the screen a lot.
Yep.
It's going to be hard for a parent to move backward.
Yes.
What counsel would you give to parents thinking through this beforehand? Or maybe it's already, well, my kids are on the screen 4 hours a day.
Right. Yeah. So one, it's going to be a battle and it's not going to be a fun parenting moment. So we'll kind of set that up there. But if you can think about it in terms of what is best for a child, especially if we're navigating this issue, I would kind of break it up into three categories, like kids below five, and then kids kind of, you know, five to about 12, and then teenagers. How do we manage teenagers, right? Because those are three very different categories, you know? So for kids under five, no screens, like at all.
Yeah.
Limited. And, you know, maybe a television program, a cartoon, something that's engaging, but not very much time at all from zero to five, because a massive amount of brain development is happening in those first few years, language development and reading social cues. And you want your child to be able to be socially acceptable by the time they're four, because, mm-hmm. you know, stats show if kids are not kind of socially acceptable and like adults like being around your kid by the age of four, the problems that are going to come down the road, it's highly correlated with depression and anxiety and behaviorally acting out and addictions, and it changes the brain. So too much screen time causes the gray matter in your brain to shrink. It deforms your white matter, which is brain's ability to signal communication. Gray matter is responsible for cognitive processes to think. So it's shrinking the areas of the brain that are related to thinking. It can damage the frontal lobe, especially in kids, because their frontal lobes are the last part of their brain to develop. And this is significant. MRI scans found significant differences in the brain of some children who reported using devices more than 7 hours a day. And so there's some danger associated there. So for kids 0 to 5, very limited, I would say no screens at all, except for television. Maybe you watch a cartoon together as a family, something like that. You know, but from ages 6 to 12, how do you navigate this? Because kids want screen time. They want a device. They want something to listen to their music on, you know? And so how do you navigate that? Is a good question. You know, for our family, no social media, no, you know, we're not watching shows on our iPads, iPods. Mm-hmm. We were using it for music. That was basically it. That's the decision that we made. And, yeah. you know, my kids thought that we were terrible parents for it, but that's the decision that we made. And then, you know, in the teenage years, it's navigating, you know, at what point do you introduce social media? My son's almost 14. We haven't done the social media thing yet. I know for your family, you guys have been navigating that right now.
Right. Right.
And so,
well, and I want to get to social media, but there's a training, it seems to me, in those younger years, yeah. and we've experienced that. So that when they get to the older,
yeah.
it's a little bit easier because you're doing some training.
Right.
And they're not used to those things.
Right.
And then there's not a withdrawal.
Yeah.
You know, we recently have 6-year-old boys that are staying with us. And one of the interesting thing, they're almost 7, is they're not great at playing outside. Mm-hmm. We've had them for 6 months or so. Mm-hmm. And one of the things, it's go play. Mm-hmm. And they walk outside and don't know how to go play. And right. so, you know, our 13-year-old is helping learn how to go dig a hole
right.
and play with toys. And
right.
there's something that seemed to not have developed
right.
that is maybe developing now.
Right.
Or did they miss the boat?
No, they didn't miss the boat. And that's the good news. And kind of back to your earlier question of how do parents back this off if they're mm-hmm. like, oh gosh, we've got a problem. Like we're at 5 hours a day for our 7-year-old or our 9-year-old. That's okay. Like, because the brain is so plastic and malleable, especially in the first 25 years of life, but even into adult life, even if you're an adult and you've got too much screen time, like your brain changes by using different parts of your brain. And sure. so it's like any type of muscle, that if you engage that muscle, then that's great. So for a parent that's dealing with, oh gosh, we've got a problem and we need to back this off. One is going to be a battle. Two, try and educate your kids. There's tons of great documentaries and online content. Again, now you got to go back online to get information about it. But there's so much good information as to the dangers of screen time yeah. and the effect that it's having on kids. And so getting kids to understand and then getting kids bored. Like mm-hmm. when we were kids on Saturday afternoons, when we were bored, we would go find things to do.
Well, I'm bored. I'll give you something to do. Nope.
Yeah. Yes.
I can give you something to do if you want.
Yes. Yes. But that's how kids, you know, in the 80s and the 90s would go outside. They would yep. build a fort. They yep. would ride their bikes. They would play with the neighbor kids. I know it's a shocking thing, right? Yeah. But if you learn to take away some of those devices, and if you have a hard time regulating it yourself, I get it. Parents are busy. There's great things. You can order lock boxes. So they sell these lock boxes and you set the device in there, you close it, you set a timer, and you can't get that thing open unless you use a hammer until the timer goes off. Yep. And so that's a great thing. If you're like, hey, I work from home, I can't regulate this, my kids are going to sneak it. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter where I hide it, they'll find it, you know, because kids are kids and parents yep. have to parent. So but there's things you can do to help, you know, back this off. And what you'll notice is initially there's going to be a lot of emotions coming from your child. They're not going to like it or probably like you very much in that moment. But if you can push through that initial thing, what you're ultimately doing is you're opening up other pathways for these totally. Kids.
Well, and what's neat, you know, we have, I mean, these little boys, but then teenage girls, and our son now is 24, and he's finally come through that spot where we actually hear a lot of, thank you for forcing me to do this and
right.
forcing me to do that. Where at the moment,
sure.
oh, why? But now he's like, I get it. Thank yeah. you. So let's transition to social media.
Yeah.
Thoughts on social media for our kids, ages, yeah. what does that do to them? What are yeah. the dangers?
Yeah. Well, the dangers are huge and kind of far reaching, kind of depending on what the apps are. Here's the first problem is the social media companies are very smart. They're about as smart as the people that create slot machines because it's the same algorithm. They use the same computer algorithms for social media that they do for slot machines. And for anyone that's ever walked into a casino, you know that feeling, the lights, the sounds, the stimulation that happens there. And it's the same exact thing with social media. And I'll even find myself doing this. And I'm on Twitter and I scroll up and there's no new tweets. What do? I refresh. Still no new tweets. What do? I refresh. What am I? I'm hitting the slot machine again, right? Mm. Same thing with, you know, whether it's TikTok, right? So you watch that TikTok video, it immediately pulls up the next one, and then the next one, mm-hmm. and then the next one. And what that's doing is it's giving your brain these little dopamine hits, which is exactly in the addiction center of the brain. So one, there's the problem with addiction because mm-hmm. they know how to get you and to keep you. And that's what their goal is. They want you to stay yeah. there as long as possible. But then two, for these kids, this has really become their social outlet. Whereas kids in the past would go to the mall in the afternoon and hang out and walk around and interact with each other. These kids don't talk to each other or like on the phone. They text each other yeah. and they snap each other. And so that lack of social interaction is huge. And then the problem comes with bullying. I can't tell you how many teenagers have ended up in my office where they're being bullied online, that they're part of groups and then an entire school knows everything about them yep. and they're having anxiety and depression and they don't want to go back to school because they're being harassed. And, you know, and with Snapchat, it disappears. It goes away. There's no, and so it's the problem with bullying is huge too. And then we haven't even got into, you know, some of the sexual things in regards to nudity, nude pics and those types of things yep. that are sent and shared among kid groups. And so, you know, especially for younger kids, it's tough, you know, and it's been a battle, especially, you know, for my son who loves to talk with his friends that he doesn't yep. get to see all the time, or they live in a different part of town. I want to text. And it's it's tough, but you have to be able to hold that line. It's like, I don't want my kid to get bullied. I don't want my kid being sent something that's sexually inappropriate. And plus just the addictive nature of what this social media does to such a young brain. You wouldn't give an 11-year-old six beers every day.
Three is the limit at 11.
So why would you give your kid
something addictive?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. That has very little health value.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It's interesting. Our son went to a Christian college, and just a couple years ago, there was a class offered basically on dating, on how to have a relationship with somebody of the opposite sex, because many of them didn't know how to even talk to each other.
Right.
It's like standing face to face and texting each other.
Sure.
And they had to learn how to.
Yeah. You know, you sound like an old man right now, but.
Well, I am old.
Yeah, I know. Me too.
43-ish.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. But they're realizing it.
Yes.
It seems like even the younger, they're realizing it. Oh, this is a problem.
Mm-hmm.
At least my son's age coming out of it, we were short-circuited, whereas maybe we can protect some of these younger ones from that. Have a play date rather than.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And playing outside, getting outside, going to even a skate park, right? And my son's gotten into skateboarding this year, and it's like, yes, go. 6 hours. Skate park. Just,
sure.
You know?
Yeah.
Don't smoke marijuana, but yeah, so it's a, yeah, it's a tough thing to navigate for sure.
Now, smartphones.
Yeah.
I mean, because all this stuff that we're talking about mainly is going to come through a smartphone.
Right.
What do parents need to know about smartphones with their kids? Because I got to tell you, talking to parents of kids who are 8, thinking, when do we start? I've talked to parents of kids who are 16 going, what do we do now? Do we need to know about smartphones?
So a couple things, and even going back to the first stat that I gave back in 2018, like 54% of teenagers felt they were on their phones or screen time too much and wanted to make a change about it. And so while your kids will probably fight you on this issue, even kids, the older that they get, start to recognize this is too much. This is not good for me.
And even though they might kick back,
yes,
they might even be appreciating the help while they're fighting you.
Yes, absolutely. And so, you know, I'm never going to tell a family what to do. And there's lots of families that make all sorts of decisions and have, you know, for our family, I could say what we've decided is like, we're not even thinking about a phone until high school years, which we're just not, you know, iPods for music. Yes. An iPad, cause they need it for school and they use that for music or doing school projects. Yes. Like those types of things. But I'm not handing that big of a thing to a kid, you know? And so something else you could do is do a dumb phone, do a flip phone. They still make those.
They stopped making a few years ago.
Okay.
So, cause we were thinking the same thing. Our daughter, who is 17 now.
Okay.
And we said, she's not having a smartphone, but we want to be able to contact her when she goes places.
Yeah.
And we searched and searched and they didn't have them then. I think they've restarted making them, but we had to go to, pay by minute dumb phone that we would fill.
Right. And at the bare minimum, look, if you're in a situation where your kid needs to have a phone or you're a single parent and they need to be able to get in touch with you or those types of things, there are tons of different apps out there where even if they have a phone, you're in control of the phone, right? That you approve what things they have on the phone. You can set limits on there. You can set what apps they're not allowed to. You can set what websites they're allowed to visit and what they're not. And so at the bare minimum, for parents, you need to be setting those types of limits really all the way through, you know? And because the goal is ultimately, and this is, you know, if you think about like a kid that's, but by the time they're 18, they're launching into the world.
Right.
And so I don't think the answer is nothing until you're 18, because then they don't know how to manage any of this.
Right.
But I also don't think the answer is 6 years old, go have fun, kid, like figure out the world.
Right.
That's not also not going to work.
Well, and I, I think you would probably agree there's training all the way through mm-hmm. because you never get to a point where it's a free for all with no accountability. Mm-hmm. I mean, even in your 40s,
right.
there's some things you need accountability on.
Yes.
That's not weakness.
Right.
That's not immaturity. It's actually mature mm-hmm. to recognize. And so we're training these kids. We are holding you accountable.
Yeah.
When you leave, we might still be, if you want, hopefully you find somebody else to help hold you accountable on things.
Yeah.
But that's part of being human.
Yeah.
We never want to free for all. I mean,
right.
You've probably done that. You sat down, I'm just going to have a free for all today and eat all the donuts and all the pizza I want. And it never goes well.
No, no. Especially the older you get.
Right.
Yes.
I guess, you know, as we wrap this up, this idea of screens, social media, you know, smartphones, again, what counsel would you give parents that they're listening and they're like, yes, oh, but that sounds like a lot of work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is a lot of work. And I would say, you know, these screens are not going away.
Yeah.
And the data is not fully in, but the initial data, it doesn't look great. And we're setting our kids up for failure, and we're setting our kids up for academic failure, for social failure. And, you know, we have our kids for 18 years and our lives are busy. I get it. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I'm not always as hands-on as I should be as well, but we have a job, and setting our kids up for success that's the biggest job that we have, is launching yep. them into the world in a as healthy a space as we can. And the teenage years are difficult enough.
Right.
And so, but adding, you know, 5 hours of screen time a day just exacerbates every problem that already shows up in teenage years. And I would also say that, yes, initially there is going to be a battle. Initially, it's going to be difficult. But once you start taking those steps, kids recognize and they get out and then they start having fun. And, you know, it doesn't take much. Like, you give my son a box, empty box, and some rocks and a couple sticks, he will yep. entertain himself for a couple of hours while he destroys the box, right?
Right.
But if I give him a smartphone, he'll sit on his bed yep. for 7 hours.
Yep.
You know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, and I think, I mean, wrapping it up is, parenting's not for wimps.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. and it goes by a lot faster than you realize, especially yeah. when they're younger.
Yeah.
When they're almost out, you're like, oh, we need to maximize the time.
Right.
And at least for our family, I think one of the greatest things I heard or whatever learned early on, families that play together stay together.
Yeah.
And so just getting outside and playing
yep.
Together is priceless.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not a video game together.
No.
Although that can be okay, probably.
Yes.
But in limits.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, thank you, Dr. Braun.
It was great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And we look forward to next time.
Sounds good.
Thank you for listening to the Kingdom Over Castle podcast. If your church is not represented on the website, we want to know about it. Please go to our contact form at our website, which is kingdomovercastlenv.com. Fill out the contact form, and we want to know about your church. We want to include you on the website so that people can find out about you. If you know of a serve opportunity in our area where believers can get behind whatever it is, please go to our website. Let us know about that. If your church wants to be included, and we hope you do, in our ongoing tracking of salvations in our area, please, again, go to our website at kingdomovercastlenv.com, fill out the contact form, and we will create an ongoing communication with you, with your church, so that we can know what God is doing. Serve opportunities, celebrations of salvations and baptisms, and all of that can be included on the website as well as on the podcast. So thank you for listening, and we want to know what God is doing. Thank you very much. Listen.